I solemnly swear that I will faithfully, diligently, and impartially execute and perform the duties required of me as a member of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, and will well and truly obey and perform all lawful orders and instructions which I shall receive as such.
The Queen's Men. For the first time, authentic stories of the world-famous Royal Canadian Mounted Police. Tales of men who for almost 100 years have helped to keep peace in Canada. The Queen's Men. The Queen's Men. True stories of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. Names have been changed for family protection. And now transcribe The Queen's Men.
Morning, Constable. You join me in a cup of coffee?
Yeah, thanks, Corporal. I can use it.
Another cup of coffee, Hank, please.
Yeah, come on.
What's your trouble, Corporal?
Look, when I joined the force, I thought I'd see a little action now and then. Well, at least that my office days were over.
Office duty, eh? Yeah, it can be a little depressing for an active man. Necessary, though.
Yeah, how come, Corporal? All these little fool cars that move from one file to another.
Hey, what are you on, modus operandi?
Yeah, bringing the old files forward for guarding purposes. Ah, a lot of baloney.
I can remember one time that I thought that, too, a few years ago. I was doing exactly the same job you're doing today, bringing forward old card files and complaining bitterly. Oh, Kelly, I wish somebody'd start a war. I'd join up so fast, just any kind of war. Well, I suppose that wouldn't work either. They'd have paperwork in wars, and I'd get stuck with it.
Yeah, what's all the complaining about? What's the matter with you?
Just fed up.
Yeah, what are you fed up with?
Sergeant, how'd you like to take over this card file for a couple of hours? Then you wouldn't have to ask.
I've done with card filing. I've done plenty of it. Your trouble, Constable Hayes, is you haven't got the right attitude.
Well, that's easy to say.
Well, I mean it. You're looking at these cards as chunks of cardboard instead of actual cases.
But they aren't actual cases. They're only bits and pieces of cases.
Sure. That's why they're interesting. They're incomplete cases with insufficient evidence to be solved. Every single one of these cards represents a perpetrator of a crime who got away with it.
I guess you're right.
Each of them represents some poor redcoat who slugged away on a case and couldn't find the necessary pieces to fit it together. He had to go on a card, into the file, and wait. Wait for what? For Constable Hayes to get bored and fed up and desire above all else to toss him in the wastebasket. Or join the army.
No, I'm sorry, Sergeant. I guess you're right.
Sure I'm right. You young punks. You think the only time you're being a Mountie is when you're all done up in dress uniform, marching to band music.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, let's see about these cards.
That's right. See them. Keep a real good eye on what you're doing. One day you'll find something on one of those cards. Keep your eyes open, and you might win yourself a medal. And maybe even a furlough. Hello. Sergeant Kelly. Yeah. No, lady, I'm sorry, but that isn't a job for the RCMP. That's a job for the fire department. Why, I know, you haven't got a fire, but you haven't got a crime, either. Well, if your cat's up in the tree, the thing you want is a good long ladder. And we haven't got ladders down here. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. You get in touch with the fire department. You'll find they're very nice fellas. No, they won't mind a bit you calling them. Don't mention. Goodbye. I don't know, Fred. Where did the general public get the idea we were a sort of lifesaver's army on horseback? Cat in a tree.
Oh, Sergeant, are you busy?
Oh, I'm very, very busy, Constable Hayes.
Oh.
This seems to be my morning to deal with everyone's problems. So let's have it. What's your problem this time?
Well, maybe I'm barking up the wrong tree, Sergeant, but I wish you'd take a look at these three cards.
You're still on the cards, eh?
Yes, Sergeant. I tried keeping my eyes open, as you suggested. Well, for one thing, I found it easier to keep awake. And then, well, then I found this first card. So have a look.
All right. Let's see. Man known as Andrew Hutchinson Blake, posed as wealthy landowner with property in the old country. False bank account. Cashed small checks under false pretenses.
It seemed to stick in my mind. And a little while later, I came across this second card. Yeah. Read this one, Sergeant.
Yeah. Case of misrepresentation. Phony checks. Man posing as... Wealthy property owner from old country. Named Peter Hetherington Roberts.
And then, Sergeant, in the other file, this third one. Look.
Yeah. Name, Samuel Heathcliff Barker. Wealthy squire from Scotland. Report of cashing checks under false pretenses.
You see why they caught my eye, Sergeant? Three different names, but look, the similarity among the offenses.
Yeah, I see that.
And another small thing, maybe it doesn't mean anything, but in each case, the middle name is a fancy one, beginning with H.
Oh, Hayes, you might get to be an investigator, yeah? I know it's quite a coincidence, but that's exactly the kind of thing a man traveling under aliases does. Same kind of similarity in all names.
Hmm. Really, Sergeant?
Sometimes you'll find the last name always starts with the same letter. Or has the same rhythm to it. Some sort of similar category. Hutchinson, Hetherington, and Heathcliff.
Do you think I'm right? That there may be some connection among these three cases?
I think it's quite possible you're right, yes. You know, you may have stumbled on something. Now, what's your plan, Constable?
Sit down, Kelly. What's on your mind?
Thank you, sir. Well, this business that young Hayes has stumbled on, he may have turned up something pretty important.
Yeah, it's very interesting. What else has been happening?
We've checked all our files, and so far there are only the three instances. But there's enough similarity. I think it should be investigated further.
You're right. Well, my advice is to transfer the information on those three cards to Form 55 and forward it to the CMO section at Ottawa and await further developments.
Okay, Hayes, stand back a little and stop breathing down my neck. Give me some elbow room, if you please.
Sorry, Sergeant, only that looks like that answer from Ottawa to our Form 55 report.
You're a positive genius at detection, Hayes. That's exactly what it is.
Well, do you mind my asking what's in it, sir?
Not at all. I think you'll be glad to know your suspicions are confirmed.
No kidding, Sergeant.
Yep. I state that one Richard Halsman Gibbon has used exactly the same mode of operation in Saskatchewan, Manitoba, and Alberta in the years 1936, 37, and 38.
There's that middle name, beginning with H. Halsman.
Yep. You're right about that connection. There's another noticeable factor. You see it?
Let's see.
These cards you discovered were for the years 1934 and 35.
That's right.
And the complaints were received in British Columbia. Now, we've got British Columbia, Alberta, Saskatchewan.
I get it, Sergeant. The fellow's been moving east.
As I said, you're a genius. Now, the question is, how far east did he come?
Yeah, and is he still operating in the same racket?
My guess is, yeah. If he's been as successful as this, he's not going to give it up in a hurry. Now, here's the really good break. The report from Ottawa further states that there have been complaints as recently as last month.
Uh-huh.
One from the farming area of Wellesley.
Well, that's only about 100 miles north of here.
That's right. The trail may still be warm up there. How'd you like to go on up and start a personal investigation?
That's exactly what I want, Sergeant. As you said the other day, carry the case through myself.
And I'll check with the inspector and get you permission.
Thanks.
It's wide, rough country. You'll want a horse. See Sergeant Maynard and get that arranged.
Yes, Sergeant.
Oh, this will be your first investigation on your own, won't it, Hayes?
Yes. Well, but I'm sure I can handle it, sir. I've been dying for the chance.
I'm sure you'll do a good job. If you locate this man, remember that before taking him, you must determine what sort he is, whether he's likely to be difficult. However, that's putting the cart before the horse. He may be in Prince Edward Island by now.
I suppose that report contains the name and address of the latest complainant.
Yes. A farmer named... What is it? Hank Jenkins. Rural route number 2, outside the town of Baldwin. That's near Wellesley.
Here we go, Blackie. This looks like the place. Atta girl. Whoa now. Maybe that's Mr. Jenkins over there. Steady, girl, steady.
Howdy, stranger.
Good afternoon.
You come see me? Jenkins is the name. Henry Jenkins.
Yes, Mr. Jenkins. Oh, steady, girl, steady.
Frisky hoss you got there?
Yes. Yep, she enjoys the run. Didn't want to stop. I'm Constable Hayes, Royal Canadian Mounted Police.
Well, see, am I glad to meet you. Never did meet a real Mountie before. Thought you'd be in red.
Oh, this is our work uniform.
Well, you're right, I guess. Don't want to get them nice red coats all spattered in mud, eh?
That's right.
See, I think you come to find out about that racketeer fellow that was around here last month.
That's right. You mind telling me about him?
I sure don't, and I hope you're out here to catch him, officer, and get my money back. One thing, it's lucky for me I didn't sign my whole darn farm over to him.
Your farm?
Sure. Hey, that's how he was operating, see? He comes along one day and said he heard my farm was for sale. And I said, that's right, mister. $10,000 and worth every cent of it.
Yeah, go on.
Well, he's smart, he was. He acted like a real fussy buyer. Looked over every darn inch of the place. Haggled over the price of the pigs and the equipment. And, after a long time, he said he'd buy it.
Offered to buy the farm, eh? I didn't know about that.
Oh, and then he gives me a long story about all his money was tied up in Scotland, and he was expecting it any day. It was even recorded here in the bank, and he says, he couldn't draw on the money till it was covered by the bank in Scotland.
I see.
Something like that, anyway. See, like a cup of coffee?
No, thanks, not right now. I'd like to hear the rest of your story. It may be afterwards, eh?
Oh, okay. Well, and to back it up, he showed me his bank book. $10,000, he said.
Bank book? What bank?
Oh, bank right in town, Baldwin. So I never thought to question it.
Well, then what?
Well, then he wrote me out a check for $8,000 for down payment on the farm and asked me to hang on to it till his money will come through from Scotland or
uh-huh.
Something like that, or was it?
Large down payment, eh?
Oh, sure. It seemed a swell down payment, so I was real pleased. Everything looked hunky-dory, and by that time we kind of got to be friends, like, see?
Well, now then, how did he cheat you finally?
Oh, he's just as casual as you please. Just before he rode off, he asked if I'd cash a couple of small checks for him. $100 here, $50 there. You know, in a farming business, you get to have quite a lot of cash on hand. Sometimes you'll cash crops.
Yeah, sure.
Not suspecting anything, I cashed him. And he hung around about a week. He got real pally. I kept cashing little checks for him here and there, about $300 altogether.
That's so.
And he didn't show up. Didn't show up for a couple of weeks. And then I gets a request to go into town and see the bank manager. Well, I no sooner gets into his private office when he hits me with, "We got a stack of bad checks here, Mr. Jenkins, from a Mr. Gibbons." "You're crazy," I says. "He's got $10,000 in the bank right here." "You're the crazy one, Hank," says Arnold. "Well, Arnold, that's he's bank manager."
Uh-huh, yeah.
Well, Gibbons has exactly $1 in his bank, and that's all.
I see. Well, now I understand what he did.
Do you, sir? Well, I sure wish you'd tell me. I saw that there bank book with my own eyes, and it said $10,000. Plain as day.
Yes, because Gibbon had changed the figure in the book himself. He opened an account with $1 and added the zeros.
Well, I'll be... Hey, that's downright dishonest.
Yeah, I think I'll have that cup of coffee now, Mr. Jenkins. I want to get a full description of this man. He's much too clever to be allowed his freedom any longer.
Hey,
In just a moment, we'll return for the second part of this true story of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, the Queen's Men. And now we return you to the Queen's Men.
Well, I'm certainly glad you dropped in to see me, officer. My name's Arnold, manager of the bank here. We're very upset about this.
Yes, I would think you would be.
It's very alarming to think that a person can change a bank like that and defraud innocent people.
Yes. Tell me, did you see this man yourself when he came in to deposit that $1?
No, but I've since questioned the teller and got a few facts about him. He's picked with a Scottish accent, for one thing.
Yes, I knew that. I have a pretty good description of him from Henry Jenkins.
Oh, poor Hank. He's had to make up the loss to the bank, you know. Bank rules. Doesn't seem fair, does it?
Well, I'm going to do everything in my power to bring this man to justice so that others like Hank won't continue to be cheated.
How do you plan to find him, officer?
Well, it's not easy. He's very clever. He's been operating this racket for very many years.
Is this the first time the Mounties have been on the case?
No, they've been aware of his individual activities. But this is the first time they've all fallen together into one picture, so to speak. And besides, to be frank, this is my first case. All on my own, that is.
I know what you mean, officer. I felt that way when I got my first bank branch.
Yeah.
You want to succeed at it.
Well, probably pretty confident of me when other more experienced men have failed, but, well, perhaps no one has been this close to giving before. I have a hunch he might not be far away. What I want is every scrap of relevant information. Now then, what about his handwriting?
Oh, yes. We have a sample of that.
Well, may I see it, please? I'd like to study it and then send it back for identification.
Miss Lewis. Please bring that Gibbon card from the fire. That is, if you don't mind.
Miss Lewis is new on the files. She doesn't enjoy the job much. Frankly, I don't think she'll last.
Well, they were thinking that about me a few weeks ago.
Oh, what's that, officer?
Oh, it's a long story. I'd better get on with things. How many garages are there in this town?
Just two.
Good. That'll be my next stop, then.
Why, yes, officer. That Scotsman used to bring his car here for servicing.
Well, then you'll know what year it was.
Sure. Kind of old. 1928. Open tour, good condition.
Bright green, I'm told.
Yeah, that's right.
How about the license number?
I didn't ever think to record that. Sure do wish I had now.
Yeah, that would have been a great help. Well, now then, do you remember anything in particular about this man? I mean, did he ever say anything that you can remember about his plans or where he might be headed?
No, I don't think he did. Talk a lot, he did. Real friendly kind of fellow. Well, it was all about the weather, the latest news. The only thing he ever said about himself was to talk about this fine estate he had in Scotland.
Yes, I've heard about that estate.
Gee. You know, officer, I do remember one thing. It was while I was checking his tires and I thought his right back was just about finished.
Uh-huh.
Trying to sell him a new one.
Yes, then what?
Well, let's see, how did it go now? Yeah, I remember. Said, as it got 150 miles left in it.
Huh?
That was a figure, 150 miles. Said, I thought it might have, and he said, well, he'd let it go.
Yeah. That does sound as though, you have road maps here, haven't you?
Sure, lots of them.
Then let's have a look at one. Now then. We take a circle 150 miles from here. What towns do we hit?
Well, let's see. Want a pencil, obviously?
Yes, thanks. Now, let's see. We hit here, and here, and here.
Nah, it's just bushland.
And then we'd continue on. No, that's mountain area. But look, if we continue the circle on south.
Yeah, you come to the town of White Plains.
You know anything about this place?
Sure do. Thriving town. Good farm district. Best farms in the area.
Uh-huh. A likely place for a farm buyer.
Say, you Mounties sure did good ideas.
Yeah, but not without the assistance of good citizens like yourself. You know, I think this tip of yours may be the thing that'll lead me to my man.
Have you drawn in the rest of the circle?
Yes, it would hit a couple of smaller places. Three, to be exact. I know all three of them, and I don't think they're in very good farming country.
Then you really think this fellow may have headed for White Plains?
Well, that would be the smart thing for him to do. All but for one item, which he probably doesn't know about.
Yeah, what's that, officer?
Well, there's a Royal Canadian Mounted Police detachment at White Plains.
Well, nice to see you in White Plains, Constable Hayes.
Thank you.
First time here?
Yes, that's right.
I've already heard about the work you're doing on this given case.
Well, to be frank, Sergeant, I can use some help. If the men here at your detachment are not too busy...
No, indeed. Down here in the farming country, this is one of those nasty cases none of us likes. A man who's cheating hard-working people out of money they've sweated for? Not only that, but he's been eluding us for years, and it's time we caught up with him. Now, what have you got so far?
Well, my guess is that he's in this area, perhaps in this very town. How many banks are there?
Four.
Well, then it shouldn't be difficult to put a watch on all four of them. You see, he starts by opening up a bank account of $1 and then changing the bank book to read $10,000.
What, that old trick?
It may be old to us, but it takes in a farmer who is anxious to sell a farm.
Oh, then you're right. Then watch the bank.
Then there's a car. How many garages in town?
Oh, about 9 or 10.
Could you spare a man to concentrate on all the garages, interview the owners?
Oh, certainly.
I'll give you a detailed description of the man and the car. If he's operating in this town, we should be able to pick him up in a matter of days.
On the other hand, he may be lying low and just looking things over for a while.
Well, according to my calculations, he's already done that. You see, it's 2 weeks since he left Baldwin. Now, I was able to establish that he sized that area up for a couple of weeks before he started operating there.
I see.
He doesn't take many chances. He gets thoroughly acquainted with the district, the kind of people, so that he makes no mistakes. Now, the next thing I want to do here is to look up farms for sale in your local paper and visit the real estate agents.
I suppose he stays within the price range of $10,000.
Well, I would think so. He always has in the past, so... Well, what do you say we start spreading out?
Oh, by the way, Constable, this is your first case, isn't it?
Yes, that's right.
Good luck.
Thanks.
Now, I have here a written description of the car you're to watch for. If a man comes in driving this car and has a Scottish accent, detain him.
I sure will, officer.
You think you can hold him without rousing his suspicion?
Gee, I've never helped the police out before, although I'm real glad to do it, but I...
Then you tell him you're going inside for change. Give us a call, and we'll have a car here within 3 minutes.
Sure. Okay, officer. I sure hope we catch him.
No, Sergeant. We get a lot of people come in here and open accounts for $1. There's nothing unusual about that.
Uh-huh. Have you had any in the past 2 or 3 weeks?
Now, I'll call in Mr. Harris, the teller, and have him check up on it. Oh, he seems to be busy with a depositor at the moment, but he'll be right in.
Well, then, can you tell me if you happen to have an employee who's good at studying and comparing handwriting?
Oh, yes, the accountant, Mr. Ferguson. He's quite an expert.
Well, then, look, I'll leave this handwriting sample with him.
Mm-hmm.
The suspect's name is Gibbon. But he uses different names for every job. So if you have a man with a Scottish accent come in and open a $1 account, please have Mr. Ferguson give his handwriting a careful check.
I certainly will, Sergeant. Oh, I see Mr. Harris is free now. Mr. Harris?
Yes, sir.
Can you come this way, please?
Hello, Mr. Wright.
This is Sergeant Rawlins of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police.
Glad to meet you, Sergeant. Hope there's no trouble.
As a matter of fact, there is. I wonder, Mr. Harris, whether you could check your records and see if there have been any $1 accounts opened here within the past few weeks.
Why, sure thing, officer.
Particularly if you can remember a man with a Scottish accent.
Scottish accent? $1, you said?
Yes.
Well, that's very odd.
Why?
Well, what do you mean by that, Mr. Harris?
Oh, why, Mr. Wright, the man I was just looking after had a Scottish accent, and he just opened a $2 account. You don't suppose...
I certainly do. Where is he? I'm going after him.
Oh, Sergeant, I just heard at the desk...
I had him, Hayes. We were together in the bank. I looked right at him through the glass while he opened his $2 account. And then he calmly walked out.
Yeah. Look, Sergeant, if you'd nabbed him right there, it would only have been on suspicion. We wouldn't have had the evidence right off.
Well, we could have taken care of that later. I tell you, I searched streets. I wouldn't have thought a man could disappear so fast.
Yeah. Just one thing I want to know. Do you think he suspected anyone was after him?
No, I'm sure he didn't.
Well, then we're in luck. He'll still proceed with his plan, and that's where we'll get him.
What's your plan?
I've just been interviewing the various real estate agents around town. I was questioning them about $10,000 farms. I was in plain clothes. I didn't want them to know what I was up to. Might give it away when Gibbon walked in.
Yes, that's right. Well, go on.
Well, every one of them had a try at selling me a farm that's on the open market. A farm worth $20,000. Now, this is a farm that's being promoted. The owner's very anxious to sell. You see what I'm getting at?
Yes. Yes, Hayes, I do.
Gibbon saw it as a chance to cash somewhat larger checks. He decided that he'd change his pattern and go after a $20,000 customer instead of 10.
That's why the $2 account instead of one.
Exactly.
Is it just one farm of $20,000?
Just one. It's a very elaborate place for this area. There's not many like it. Now, I'm going straight up to that farm, and here's what I'd like you to do.
Yes, sure, officer. I've had a few folks here to look at my farm, but no Scotsman.
Well, I think he'll be along any time now. Perhaps this afternoon, perhaps tomorrow. Maybe not until next week.
And what about him?
He's out to cheat you out of a great deal of money. I'll tell you the whole story, but first I want you to follow my instructions.
Certainly, officer. I'll trust a Mountie any day.
Good. Now, I'm certainly glad to see that you're about my size. Have you got an extra pair of overalls and a plaid shirt like that?
Sure, but lots of them. What are you getting at?
This is what I'm getting at. When our man shows up, I'm going to be the farmer. You're going to be out of sight.
Why are you doing that, officer?
He'll deliver his entire pitch to the Royal Canadian Mounted Police in overalls. I'll not only have my man, I'll have my evidence, too. Now, you're entitled to know what this is all about. Just let me have the overalls first in case he shows up. Sure enough, Gibbon showed up that afternoon, walked straight into the trap.
No kidding.
Well, it was a fine act he put on. I thoroughly enjoyed every word of it. I may add that he enjoyed it, too. Found me very responsive. That is, he enjoyed everything but the arrest.
Yeah, it was a fine piece of work, Corporal.
And as I say, it was always a result of office work. Card filing, the dullest job of all.
Well, thanks for the lesson. If you'll excuse me, I think I'll get back to my filing.
The Queen's Men, authentic stories of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. Music under the direction of Sidney Torch. Script and adaptation under the supervision of John Adaskin. Produced and directed by Harry Allen Towers.